All right, here we go. Hour two of the game. John Tyler Mitchell with you here. Haters and Ballers, K-State Draft Edition, coming up in our next segment at 525. You can't be serious at 550. Finish off the show here. I would like to point out before I tell you why the K-State NFL draft streak, which is about to be a 24 consecutive years, having a player drafted, longest in the Big 12, is the best recruiting tool that K-State's football program has. I would like to interject here, just for point of reference, Call Me Maybe has 850 million hits on YouTube. So I think iconic fits. 850 million.
Context, man. Context.
Well, what? I'm waiting for you to state the rest of the case. All you said was context.
We talked about it during
my friend.
Gangnam Style. 2.8 billion. That's what, five times more or four times more than 800 million or whatever? I think that shows that you've got a lot of videos on YouTube, a lot of songs that have more views than Call Me Maybe.
Well, I'm not trying to measure it against Gangnam Style, another song that I suppose you could make the argument is iconic because of that.
it's a song.
This show's all about you today, man. You're loving this show.
I know. I was just thinking about this. Like, of all the fluff that we had in the first hour, it seems really strange that we're going to dig into a more serious topic.
Fluff! Fluff.
It was very fluffy.
Fluff. Okay. Well, yeah, this is not very fluffy here in the open. We are doing Haters and Ballers next, though. So, I mean, I suppose you could consider that to be fluffy as well. But you will get a lot of good info on where people think Jordan Willis is going to get drafted, which may be tonight in the first round of the NFL draft. And you're going to start seeing more and more now the social media posts about K-State's NFL draft streak. I went ahead and fired mine off today. The official, if you're a K-State fan, thank Bryce Brown Day for getting drafted back in 2012 and extending that streak as he snuck in the seventh round. Otherwise, it would be no more. And I do think it's important. I use the streak basically here as a launching point for K-State's NFL success in general, which we know has been very, very good, and it's one of the big selling points that this program has to offer. But you have to admit, it does lose some luster, at least in the shallow world of recruiting where you're trying to find whatever you can to get a kid's attention. You know, a 16, 17-year-old kid, you want to get their attention. You know, you can start talking about the NFL success you've had, and there is plenty of substance to, hey, tons of K-State football players have had long NFL careers. We have some guys that you're going to know, top of mind, Jordy Nelson, Darren Sproles, Tyler Lockett. But it sounds cool to be able to send them something in the mail, send them a graphic on Twitter. Just be able to tell a recruit, we've got the longest draft streak in the Big 12. That is something that we have over Oklahoma. That is something that we have over Texas. Anybody that you want to throw out there in the Big 12, you can make that argument then very quickly that, and I'm not saying this is right, but in the recruiting world, think about if you're trying to sell it to a kid. You want to go to the NFL, no better place to do it than here. We've got the longest streak going in the Big 12 conference of having a player drafted. That has some significance. I think that holds a lot of weight, and I think if you combine it just with the draft success in general that K-State has had and the NFL success in general K-State's had, selling point number one for this program.
You can definitely bring that up, and I'm sure that it is. I think that it is probably brought up a little bit more cautiously with some K-State coaches than others, like with Bill Snyder and with Sean Snyder, because you know that at heart – the most important thing when you're coming into K-State is that you're going to be a player and you're going to work really hard and you're not going to focus on the big picture stuff. You're going to take things one day at a time and all that. And so when you're looking at it from that perspective, you're not necessarily going to want to wow a recruit with the NFL stats, because maybe that makes them – we were talking yesterday about the impact of Kamau Stokes going to the NBA draft and exploring those waters. You don't want to fill their brain with this idea that it's all about them and them going to K-State is only about them eventually getting to the NFL. But I understand what you're saying.
Well, I hear what you're saying there, but, I mean, come on. What you can sell to them is, look, everybody knows it's Bill Snyder's way or the highway. He is not – Bryce Brown's a perfect example. He has not catered things to somebody that is all about themselves and all about getting to the NFL. It's been about his system doing it his way, and yet you've churned out 24
right.
straight years with an NFL draft pick. So the message is – you come do it our way, you come do it the way Bill Snyder wants to do it here in Manhattan, Kansas, you're going to be not only in the NFL, but you're going to be successful in the NFL, because we have guys that have played for so long and we have such a wide-ranging number of guys who have made it to the NFL. So I think that's really the message. I mean, you combine those two things.
Yeah.
It works differently. I mean, we're talking about two different guys here. I know the Kamau Stokes example you're bringing up. There are different concerns, I think, and no offense here, but this is reality. There are different concerns there with Bruce Weber as the head coach and what the message is going to be with Kamau Stokes in the NBA as opposed to Bill Snyder, Sean Snyder, who you also brought up in the K-State football program. I mean, we know. It's his way or the highway. Like Bryce Brown.
I believe he finished with 11 career yards at K-State.
And number one recruit in the country. You're out the door, man. I mean, he played three games. And he was gone before they even hit conference play. So I don't think you really have to worry about that. You say you come buy in and do it this way, we have proven results that it's going to be successful. And it's like the one thing that you have that you can definitively hold over Oklahoma and Texas's head in the recruiting game if you're going head-to-head with kids. And I'm not saying it's going to be always the deciding factor for somebody or, you know, the reason that they choose something. And certainly there are other great things to sell about here. But there are not a lot of areas where you can definitively say, we have this tangibly over Oklahoma and Texas. This draft streak is one. It's one thing that you got over them.
I think there is some proof as well that that this streak is paying some dividends in K-State's recruiting. I mean, K-State has recruited at a higher level over the last couple of years. We've seen that they have developed more depth across the board in the program than they had when Bill Snyder first came back. And I think you could say that a part of that is recruits seeing what Jordy Nelson is doing, seeing what Tyler Lockett is doing, and some of these other guys that have gotten that exposure, and it started to pay off. And it's one of those things that can just go exponentially. I mean, the more players that you have that are on guys' fantasy teams and getting talked about on SportsCenter on Monday morning after all of the games, the more chances you have for a coach to go into a guy's living room and say, you could be that guy, you could be that guy, you could be that guy. And we're starting to see that more and more with K-State.
Exactly. The more it feeds into itself. You know, right. The streak helps you get more players. Then the more players you can send to the NFL, it's going to help keep getting more players and thus extending that streak. Now, it may be in jeopardy next year. We're going to talk about that at 5:40 because if you start looking at that, and I got some questions about that on Twitter today when I was tweeting about K-State's draft streak. So you may need to relish that it's going to be 24 this year the second that Jordan Willis's name comes off the board. And this is where really Elijah Lee going early could very much so hurt the program because you'd have almost a guaranteed guy next season being drafted if Elijah Lee had stayed back. I tend to believe that K-State will find a way to get it done next year with guy. You know, they've done it in the past. Bryce Brown, Joshua Moore was another one that Kellis brought up earlier today that I saw in his piece about K-State's draft streak. He was a guy that went early in 2010 and just barely snuck in the league, had a cup of coffee, and was out. But that kept the streak going. You know, there have been gaps like that, and that's what it's all about. You know, Texas, that's what makes the streak impressive. You're going to run into some areas like that, and you're going to have to find ways to cover it, and you would think a place like Texas would be able to do that. They haven't. K-State's had enough depth there of guys to be able to fill it.
And even though Texas is, you know, back in the draft and they can start building a new streak, in terms of this draft, K-State is going to be just as strong as Texas. I've looked at those mock drafts, and Texas only has one or two guys that have a chance of getting drafted, at least according to the experts. And with K-State, we will see Jordan Willis. We will, in all likelihood, see Elijah Lee. And then you could start talking about Shamichael Moore, Dante Barnett possibly sneaking in there as well. So not only does K-State have the streak that's longer than Texas, but they're actually holding their own in terms of numbers of guys over the last couple of years as well.
And the one pushback I think you really gave me when we kicked this around earlier was, well, what about just playing for a legendary coach? Would that not be the first thing you would sell? And I'm not saying it wouldn't be. That's obviously a huge draw. But I think at this point in Bill Snyder's career, it's a double-edged sword because, yes, you are playing for a legendary coach, but you're also then going to have to deal with the questions about the age. And that's just natural, and you can understand why recruits would have that question. I mean, this is just pure take everything out of it. We send guys to the NFL. We've been doing it consistently, and they've been playing there for a long time. I think that has to be top of the list, especially when you're thinking about what kids at 16 and 17 are thinking, man. They want to get to the NFL. As far as the Chiefs are concerned in the draft, we don't talk a ton of Chiefs, but I'm getting my hopes up here for a quarterback because there is a lot of buzz about them, whether it be Deshaun Watson or whether it be Pat Mahomes, either having one of those guys fall to him at 27 or trading up into the teens to go get one of the two. I would be dancing in the streets. They have 10 picks this year. Even if you got to give up a first rounder next year or something, if they traded up into the teens to go grab a quarterback, I would be dancing in the streets happy.
Really?
Yes. Because, one, Alex Smith is 31 or 32. I forget. I looked it up yesterday. But he's in his early 30s. He didn't run near as much as he did last year, which is a huge part of what makes him effective. And he was not as effective last year. The wheels are falling off. I mean, he's on the downward slope of his career. If you're looking at the arc of his career, it's going down. So regardless of what you think about Alex Smith, you're going to need a replacement in there sometime fairly soon, and probably sooner rather than later. So you got to start thinking about it anyway. And then on top of that, I think there are two really good options there. I like Patrick Mahomes a lot. I like Deshaun Watson a lot. I think they'd fit well with Andy Reid. And I think they need to stop playing the – I mean, I'm fine with teams in general playing the guessing game, take a shot on a guy in the fifth, sixth round, whatever, every year, and, you know, see if you can find the next Tom Brady, whatever it is. But really, they need to go out and push their chips in the center of the table and go, you know, grab their cojones and go make this happen, man. Go get a quarterback. Go stake your claim on a guy. Go find him, bring him in, groom him. And really, it would just give you something to be really excited about for the future of the Chiefs. I mean, the one hang-up with Chiefs fans really has been the quarterback thing. They had a great team. They've consistently won. They're in the playoffs. But there's always the debate about the quarterback. Can Alex Smith get you there? And I think we know the answer. I mean, he's not going to get you to the Super Bowl. This brings hope. New quarterbacks bring hope. And Chiefs fans have not been able to have that for a long time. I think this could go. It could go a long ways towards bringing a little more unity to the fan base. There won't be fighting about that quarterback stuff anymore. People will be on board if they really went out of their way to say, this is our guy, and we're going to be so confident in it that we'll back it up with future first-round draft picks, whatever it takes to trade up there.
Well, you're absolutely right about that last point. There is a very stark contrast within the fan base right now and how they feel about things, and it's not totally unlike how K-State fans have been with the basketball program. It kind of reminds me a little bit of that, because whenever something goes wrong, whenever Alex Smith throws an interception, Chiefs Twitter gets angry, and that debate, you know, just gets that much hotter. But it wouldn't be a huge mistake in my mind if they took a quarterback. I just personally wouldn't, because I think that right now they are a team that's only a couple of real big playmakers away from being a Super Bowl caliber team. I think you could get them in this draft and have a pretty good chance for one or two more really good years with Alex Smith, and then moving on. I mean, basically the difference.
I can tell you how those years would end, man. I can tell you how those years would end.
Yeah, but I mean, people are saying, well, Alex
probably Smith, in a heartbreaking playoff loss after you get a bye.
I mean, people are saying Alex Smith can't get you there, but look, I mean, one of those years having to play, you know, the Patriots in Foxborough, I mean, you're not going to beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in Foxborough, regardless of who your quarterback is. Like, that has been so rare for people to win that.
Hey, I got
that's
news
not,
for
that's
you.
Not an Alex Smith issue.
Oh, I got news for you. Well, first of all, you did just admit then that you're not going to the Super Bowl with Alex Smith, so thank you for conceding that. And then second of all, Tom Brady, and I know I'm going to hear it from Brady for saying this, the guy is pushing 40. It's not going to hang on forever. Like, that window will open, and it will probably open about the same time that if you drafted a quarterback and they are the right guy, that window would start to open about the time that they're coming into their own as your quarterback. I mean, the timing works out here. But either way, you got to find a solution for Alex Smith. If you really think Alex Smith can take you to the Super Bowl, that window's open maybe another year, maybe two. And then you're going to have something else at quarterback. Or else it's going to just be the retread route again. You'll go get the next Alex Smith. This team has not had a quarterback start a game that they drafted since Todd freaking Blackledge. Okay. And one of the great things about sports and one of the great things about the NFL is fans having hope surrounding a franchise quarterback. And virtually every franchise in the NFL has gone through it since Chiefs fans had. And I feel like as a fan, you just have this urge, like, just give me a guy. Give me a young, exciting quarterback that's a first-round pick that you're going all in on that we can rally around. I'm jealous of every other fan base that they've been able to have that, and Chiefs fans have not.
Just one other point here on this, because it's not necessarily all about how I feel about Alex Smith. Because you, in the end, if you're going to replace Alex Smith, it has to be with the right guy, the right quarterback. I just do not love Deshaun Watson. I do not love Pat Mahomes. I do not love Bisquick. I don't know if the right quarterback is available in this draft, and maybe your chances would be better of finding that guy a year from now.
How long we've been saying that? I think this is as good. This is a solid quarterback class. Deshaun Watson.
Didn't you want the Chiefs to take Manziel?
Well, Well, I mean, of course. Yeah. But that I would not have told you that that was a safe pick at the time. Like, Deshaun, you don't think Deshaun Watson is a more viable option there as a first-round quarterback? I mean, Deshaun Watson's a two-time Heisman finalist and national champion. He is as accomplished a college quarterback as you could have. And if you like Alex Smith, Deshaun Watson's about as close as it gets in terms of skill set to Alex Smith. Therefore, he'd be very good in Andy Reid's system. I mean, it makes too much sense.
Two-time Heisman finalist. Tim Tebow is a two-time Heisman winner. He's in the minor leagues right now.
Man, I'll bet you whatever you want to find in the sports office of mine right now that Deshaun Watson will have a hell of a lot better career than Tim Tebow, man. I don't know really what's not to like about Deshaun Watson. I think the kid's going to be a stud. We continue on with the game. Haters and Ballers coming up next, K-State Draft Edition.